Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I wanted to move on to social distancing. And today I wanted to talk about Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill's comments on radio yesterday. And not just her comments, but the same comments, by the way, were echoed recently by Tony Holohan when he suggested our new normal going forward. Now, have a quick listen. And this was yesterday on Downtown Radio. She was talking to Stuart Robinson. So have a quick listen to what she said. All right, here we go.
We will be socially distancing for a number of years. We will be staying apart in sort of even in gatherings of people for a number of years, I believe, because until we get to the point where there is a vaccine for COVID-19, we're going to have to learn to live with it. And in order to live with it, we have to be able to do all these things to try and minimise the transmission.
We will be socially distancing for a number of years, and we will be staying apart for a number of years until we get to a point where there's a vaccine. Now, we have talked about this. I've said this till I'm blue in the face over the last 6 or 7 weeks. There may never be a vaccine. There might be a vaccine, and that's going to be a bonus. Let's hope that there is a vaccine. Let's hope that we get a cure at some point as well. That'll be great. That's all a bonus. But there might never be. Other scientists have said that there has been many other viruses throughout time that we've never had a vaccine for. It took 10 years to get a vaccine for the flu, for example. It took years and years to get vaccines for a lot of the diseases that we're now unfamiliar with, because thankfully they've nearly gone, the likes of smallpox and polio and all those. It took years to develop vaccines for those things. Some of them 10, 20, 30 years. HIV, 30 years before we got it. We don't really have a vaccine yet, but at least we have a medication now which stops people from dying and from it turning into AIDS. So it takes years sometimes to get a vaccine, and sometimes we don't get them at all. And sometimes vaccines are completely unsuccessful. For example, the swine flu vaccine was taken back off the market again because sadly some young people were getting narcolepsy. That was taken off the market. And by the way, I'm not anti-vax, I'm very pro-vaccination, but there have been some very unsuccessful vaccines. The current flu vaccine that we have, although it does help, there has been years where it's been very unsuccessful, because what they have to do is predict the next strains for the following year of the flu. I think it's 4 they can fit into a vaccine, essentially. And 1 or 2 years, we've picked the wrong strains. Sometimes it can be 25% successful, 10% successful. So it doesn't always be very successful. And I advise people to get it, particularly if you're in a vulnerable situation. It's better to have it than not have it. But social distancing is a form of isolation of human beings in the long term. This is not about the plan. The phase plan, yeah, we all know about the phase plan, and we're going to have schools open certain days, shops open, pubs open, restaurants, but they will all have to open with social distancing going forward in the future. And the suggestion by Tony Holohan and the suggestion by Michelle O'Neill is that social distancing will be for years until we get a vaccine. Or that could be 18 months. We actually don't know the answer to that question. And neither does Michelle O'Neill, for that matter, or Tony Holohan, for that matter. None of them will know, because we're no closer to getting a vaccine. Every day we hear a story about another university which is developing a vaccine, and we're nearly there, and then all of a sudden, we did a few trials there, it wasn't quite as successful as we thought it was. We hear about cures, and different medications that might work. Then we do some clinical trials, and no, it wasn't working. So we have to wait. We don't have that yet. But social distancing, let's talk about that, because that's what they're talking about. It's a form of isolation of human beings in the long term. It's not just about good hygiene, of course, because washing hands, coughing into your elbow, all those things and good hygiene are scientifically proven to have a very positive effect. And, you know, we should have been promoting that for years. We shouldn't be just promoting it now. We've had, over the last number of years, millions of people who have died from different communicable diseases and viruses like the flu and like other viruses that we've had in society. So we should have always been promoting good hygiene, washing hands and, you know, not coughing into somebody's face. But social isolation has wider implications, including not being with a dying member of your family at their last moments, not being at the birth of your child, not being able to afford to go on holidays because, of course, the cost of travel, air travel is going to go through the ceiling because, obviously, they have to reduce the amount of people on planes, not visiting friends with social distance and prior arrangements, little or no shared workspaces, grandparents not seeing their grandchildren, weddings in jeopardy, no large events, including sports, where there'll be spectators, and gigs where you'll see your favourite band playing, you know, in a stadium or in a big auditorium, even small concerts. None of that for the next 3 years. And There is other implications to that as well, and the other implications to that are young people. Our young people, and I listened to a really interesting talk yesterday where this guy was talking about 13 and 14 year olds, and if we continue to social distance for a long period of time, they become socially conditioned into thinking that that is the norm, that, you know, you don't have close contact with other human beings. And that could be dangerous for our young people. For us older people, you know, we know that it's temporary. You know, hopefully we get back to the way we were. But they didn't have a way we are where this is their normal. This becomes their normal. And they find it very difficult then when it all ends and somebody turns around and says, well, you can go back to doing what you were doing before. They don't have a before. So they have a fear of that. You know, as countries across the globe hunker down, according to Holt Lunsted, who she did research in relation to social isolation, she said loneliness increases earlier death by 26%, social isolation by 29%, and living alone by 32%. And one of the reasons people can suffer in social isolation, she said, is because of personal relationships can help us to cope with stress. For instance, your body's response to ongoing uncertainty of what's going on right now in the world may differ depending on the extent to which you feel that you have the resources to cope. And this may be in large part dependent on whether you or not you feel like you have others in your life that you can rely on. So that applies probably more so to older people. For example, who can't see their daughters or their sons or their grandchildren, 72 years of age, sitting in a house on their own. I spoke to somebody this morning and he said he sees that his grandmother, who hasn't had any contact with her grandkids or him or her daughter-in-law for over 6 weeks now, or 8 weeks nearly, probably should I say, and he said, I've seen her age. She's aged in 8 weeks. She's miserably unhappy. Where she was always a happy-go-lucky 80-year-old, now she's miserably unhappy. And he said, I've seen her, I've watched her age over the last 8 weeks. This is what they call the secondary effect. And it's called despair. And according to research out today in America, they expect that 170,000 people will die of the secondary effects of despair. Now, that can be, that's a very difficult number to quantify, by the way. And we can't forget the amount of people who died of COVID-19 as well. But those people are important in life as well. So, for example, just silly little things like you're eating more because you're socially isolating. That, in turn, increases your body mass index, which in turn shortens your life in the long term if you continue that habit. You're drinking more. That, in turn, can affect your body as well. And you could die, you know, of kidney failure, or you could die of, I don't know, liver failure later in life. So all those things reduce life expectancy and loneliness. And then you've got suicide and all those other things on top of it. So we need to have a very good debate about a balancing act for human beings, because we're not designed to be isolated. We're designed to be together. Our relationships, that goes, I mean, we think about people walking down the road holding hands. You know what I mean? That's what human beings do. We're close. We need close contact. When we meet each other, we like to hug. We like to stay close to each other. And we understand, we all understand that there's government guidelines there at the moment and we have to do what we're being told to do for the moment. But going forward, when everything opens back up again, hopefully by August, do you believe social isolation will work for 2 or 3 years? Are you, as a human being, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to sacrifice your human contact for possibly the next 3 to 4 years? Or indefinitely, if we've no vaccine? Are you willing to do that? Let me know what you think. Are you prepared for social distancing? And by the way, there's wider implications we'll talk about another day for business. After August, most businesses will be operating on a capacity of maybe 20 to 40%. They're not going to stay in business long. So, because, I mean, how long can you stay in business if you're letting one person into your shop at a time? Or if you've only got 20 people in a pub that holds 100? You can't stay in business for long doing that, unless the government is supporting it. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Are you ready and prepared for after August, when all the phases are finished and we're all back to some level of normality, for social distancing for the next 2 or 3 years? Nigel, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Nigel?
Nigel, how are you?
Nigel, are you prepared for that?
How could you be, Nigel?
Well, none of us are prepared for it, as such.
How could
you be? But are you willing? Are you willing to do it?
What's willing, Nigel?
Are you willing to go into a pub and stand 2 meters away from your mates?
Jobs. As you know, I've been on your show long enough. I can't remember. I speak to you more often than I speak to my own wife, for God's sake.
Ah, that's a good thing. Oh, by the way, before I interrupt you, I was outside having a smoker and a lad went by in a delivery van and he stopped the car, well spotted by the way, I don't know how he seen me, and he went, "All right, Noel," out the window of the car, and I waved him, "Whoever you were, how are you?" Sorry, I wanted to say hello to him because he went to the trouble of actually stopping his van in the middle of the road to say hello to me. Sorry, Nigel. Yeah, you talk to me more than your wife. So, look, talk to me, okay? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I have a full-time job and a part-time job, right?
Yeah.
As you know, I work in a school, okay, with 1,000 people in it. By its very essence, schools are designed for anything but social distancing. Okay? We sit on top of each other in the classroom. There's 27 or 28 boys in the classroom. They're literally hugging each other. There's no space in between them. How can you change that? You can't. My part-time job, I work in a bar, okay, with a restaurant, okay, incorporated in it, which is full every Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of people. So what do? As you say, if we get 240 people, I'm just pulling the figure out of the audio, on a Sunday evening in the bar, between the restaurant and the bar, what do you do? Minimise that to 40, one-sixth of your normal crowd, mm-hmm. have them spaced out.
Well, that's what they're being told, yeah?
You'd be dead in 3 months now.
Oh, you'd be out of business. Well, that's a whole other issue that I'm going to talk about again, and we need to talk about that. We need to dedicate an hour to business going forward from August, because I believe it's nonsense. I believe business cannot survive social distancing in the long term. In the short term, maybe a lot of businesses will, some won't. But in the long term, that the economy can't survive that, okay? But I'm talking about you as a human being. August, how long do you think people can survive without seeing their grandparents, without seeing their mother and father who might be over 70, without being at the deathbed of their sibling or father or mother who died, without being at the birth of their child, without going to a wedding, without going to a gig or a football match or without meeting their friends and giving them a hug? How long do you think people
not
can survive
very long,
that? Well, Michelle O'Neill from Sinn Féin says it's going to have to go on for years.
It might go on in some capacity for years. What are you going to do? Just let our old people, just wait till all our old people are dead and then they'll start again?
Oh, there'll always be new old people, won't they, to replace them?
Yeah, of course there will. But what I'm saying is, Niall, it's our old people, in my view, it's the over 70s that are suffering the most from this.
Absolutely. But here's the thing.
Because
I
can move freely, Niall. I can get out with my car now and I can drive up to the shop. I can walk around the village. I can walk around for 5 kilometres or whatever I want to do. Without thinking. I don't have to do anything in particular. I watch where I go. I get out of people's ways, blah, blah, blah. But all these options are taken away from them. They're living in a different... At this moment in time, they're living in a different world under different rules than me.
And It's not a world I'd like to be living in.
No, it's not a world I'd like to be living in, Niall. And it's a world I'd actually hate to be living in, that my parents are living in. And my wife's parents, thank God, both of them are still alive on both sides. But I can see my mother suffering, Niall.
Can you imagine? I had a woman on the air here going back about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Mary, I think was her name. And she hadn't seen her grandkids and she started crying on the air.
I was on that day.
Okay.
I was on that day with her. I remember,
can you imagine telling that woman, I'm sorry, you can't see your grandkids for another two years?
What's that going to do to her?
People will be distraught. They will be lonely and isolated. But here's the thing. As soon as I say this or I start talking about this, you know, somebody has a go at me and saying, oh, well, you clearly don't care about the people that have died. Let's be clear. The majority of people who have died have been over the age of 80 years of age, right? The majority, the vast majority, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's not that I don't care. I value every single one of their lives. Every single one. But I equally, going forward in the long term, I value the lives of the thousands of people who are going to lose their lives through social distancing, from isolation, from loneliness, health implications, from not early diagnosis of cancer, all those things that we talked about yesterday. All those lives I value as well. There has to be some sort of trade-off or some sort of balance.
There has to be. In 20 years' time, Niall, right, when we look back at this, right, I don't know what way the world's going to be. I don't know whether we're still going to be doing this or whether something else...
Jesus, I hope not.
Whether something... what I mean is, Niall, if something else comes along, whatever happens...
I won't be doing this in 20 years.
No, the point is, Niall, right, we're going to have to look back and say to ourselves, right, what did we do?
Mm-hmm.
What did we do to our... I personally think, Niall, I'm going to... Like, how many people died from coronavirus, right? In 20 years' time when we look back, right? Let's just put a figure on it. 3,000 in Ireland, right, died from coronavirus, right? There will be countless amounts of more people dying from cancer, other illnesses, heart attacks.
Hardship, poverty,
suicide,
despair.
Suicide, despair,
yep.
Loneliness, grief, all these things. They are going to kill you. Like, self-pity and self-mort will kill you quicker than any disease, Niall. If you cannot get out and you cannot breathe and live like a human being, eventually, especially when you're at an age of 76, 77, in and around that bracket, you are done for.
But do you fair, stay there because I have to take a break. All right, stay there. Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Michelle O'Neill said that social distancing will be with us for a number of years. She was on Downtown Radio yesterday, just very briefly. Here's what she said again.
We will be socially distancing for a number of years. We will be staying apart in sort of even in gatherings of people for a number of years, I believe, because until we get to the point where there is a vaccine for COVID-19, we're going to have to learn to live with it. And in order to live with it, we have to be able to do all these things to try and minimise the transmission.
Okay, I know she said that in Stormont, and that's directly related to Northern Ireland. But as you know, Northern Ireland and the UK seem to be all singing from the same hymn sheet now when it comes to phases and plans and social distancing and everything else. And Tony Houlihan, or Houlihan, should I say, has said something very similar recently too when he talked about the new normal going forward for many years as well. So I want to know what you think. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared for social distancing in the long term? In other words, all that stuff that you're doing at the moment, I'm not talking about lockdowns. You'll be able to leave your home. You'll be able to go back to work, probably, provided, of course, the workspace has, you know, glass screens between you and your friends and colleagues and work, and you're all at least 2 metres apart, which is going to be practically impossible for some business. But are you prepared not to be with your parents when they die, or your brothers and sisters or daughters or sons when they die, and not to be allowed in? Are you prepared not to be at the birth of a child? Are you prepared not to have a wedding or a large wedding? Are you prepared not to be going to gigs or sporting events or being in contact with other human beings for the next number of years? Are you prepared for that? Yes or no? Let me know what you think. It's a trade-off, and I want to know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Someone mentions here as well, they're in, where was this? Oh, I don't know where the text has gone, but somebody mentioned a few minutes ago that they were actually in foster care. Oh yeah. Niall, I do agree that elderly are suffering, but I don't think they're the only ones. I'm a young person under the age of 20 and I live in a foster home. I rarely see my biological mother. Last time I saw her was the end of February, and because of the virus I might not see her again until July or August. Oh my, that's quite shocking. Let me just go to Philip. Philip, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Philip? We heard Nigel before the break there. As a human being, Nigel doesn't believe that he could cope with that length of time having to distance himself from other human beings. How do you feel?
Hi, Niall. Yeah, great to be on. I agree with Niall. I agree with him because, you know, from my perspective, I'm quite young myself. And, you know, when this whole thing started, we were told, okay, social distancing, the whole purpose was to not overwhelm our hospitals. And now we're being told that it's potentially for the next 3 to 4 years. So I think if we continue on the way
we are now... I don't want to scare people. We don't know how long. It's until they get a virus, or a vaccine. So they may never get a vaccine.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's indeterminate when we're going to actually have a vaccine, and when we get the vaccine, you know, how effective is that going to be? Because I mean, you know, I'm no immunologist or anything, but I mean, we really have to consider, you know, what the effects of essentially bubble wrapping our society will have on our mental health. I mean, I seen one video on Twitter the other day. Kids in a classroom in Denmark, and they're sitting like one child to a desk. They're not allowed to interact at lunch times, and it's, you know,
and the problem I have with that is that becomes their normal, and because they're children, they're like sponges, they accept it's the normal, and they're being told to fear other human beings because they might get diseases from them, so that's what they're being trained to do. And then if we got to a point in 3 years' time where the government's the world turn around and say, oh yeah, sure, we're grand again, how do you then tell those children it's okay to go over and hug your mate? They're not going to do it. They're not going to want, because they've been socially conditioned not to do that because they're young. And I think that's a very dangerous situation.
Do you think we're in danger of hanging our hat do you think we're in danger of, as a society, hanging our hat on a vaccine?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because I don't see the value. Hang on a minute. Like, how long have we had a vaccine for flu? For the normal
when influenza was discovered first, it was actually World War II.
Back in the World War II.
Yeah, it took 10 years. Even then, it was only given to servicemen. The general public didn't get it for a long time afterwards, and it wasn't a very successful vaccine. It's only in the last 10 to 15 years we've really promoted the flu vaccine, and it's still not very successful, by the way.
No, if you take it from 2005, say, to 2020, which is 15 years, which is supposed to be the most effective time period for the flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many people have died from flu from 2005 to 2020? It's still killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Absolutely.
Like that.
And by the way, can I say in relation to that, good hygiene, washing hands, being conscious of the people around you when you cough, that's something that we should have been promoting a long time ago, not just now because of COVID-19.
Can I just come in, Noel, as well? I think just to say, like, That's how I'd sum up my views on this, like, right now. Like, okay, it made sense for a while, but we can't go on bubble wrapping society. And I don't mean that just as a figure of speech. Like, we actually can't go on, you know, small businesses.
Well, the government believes we can. The government is telling us to do it. We're being told to do it.
There's no eternal fountain of money that we can provide for, you know, COVID payments, for everything. You know, society needs to go back to work at some point. Okay, be it on a rolling basis or, you know, some way.
Would you accept the trade-off for that is, and from the evidence that we're seeing so far from scientists, although it's not definitive, is that you can only catch it once. So the trade-off is that over the shorter term, because obviously it will spread very quickly once we all go back, that people will die, particularly those who are elderly or vulnerable. Is that just the trade-off?
I think the trade-off is that, you know, people eventually have to, you know, take, you know, their own decision on their health. And if people feel vulnerable and they feel like they're not safe of the virus, say it's 5% of the population, why can't we make allowances for them to be protected and consumed?
But I think that's what we should have been doing from the start, mind you. But
yeah,
yes,
exactly. And look at what happened. And let the 95% of us who want to take the chance, who want to either, you know, say, look, if I get it, I get it. You know, I'd rather take the chance of getting it than spend the next 4 years having to go on this rolling in and rolling off basis of, you know, okay, we can allow small businesses to come online. Oh, actually, no, sorry, we can't. We're going to take them away. We're only going to allow Tesco's and Aldi's to open. So, you know, there comes a point where we have to say, you know, let's protect the vulnerable, I do agree, but also let others who want to get back to work, who want to contribute, and let's build back our economy, let them take the chance.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Bernie? Oh, sorry, Bernie. I didn't flick you on there. Hang on. Sorry, Bernie. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Niall. I think in this day and age, I think just going back to what the callers there, that we have to be taught how to have good hygiene is madness. That people have to teach us and the government have to tell us to have good hygiene.
Well, it took something like this to happen before we probably realised we should have been doing that anyway. Because look at the amount of lives we could have saved over the last 20 years from different viruses like the flu, for example, or other viruses if we had washed our hands and not coughed in each other's faces.
You know yourself, if you go into a restaurant or into a bathroom in a bar or anywhere, and the amount of women that do not wash their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that's why I never touch the handle on the door. Never.
No, I never. Elbows. Everything.
Yeah, elbows, yeah. Or sleeves. Pull your sleeve down.
You have to pull the door towards you. That's one thing.
By the way, here's a little tip for everybody that I've found myself doing recently, right? When I'm in the bathroom here, saying Classic Hits even, right? When I'm finished going to the bathroom, what I'll do is I'll unlock the door and open it and then wash my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have to touch the door with my wet hands.
Yeah.
So, can you see us as human beings for the next 3 or 4 years, or indefinitely, if the case may be, social distancing, not having crowds of people together as human beings? Can you see that happening?
No, I think it's just going against human nature. And I think if people are sensible, and that's one of the reasons I'm ringing. And first of all, if you make teenagers miss the normal, they're antisocial with their phones anyway. This is going to make them worse.
Oh, it is. Yeah, they won't want to touch each other.
Not only teenagers, I'm not just blaming teenagers, but people are just going crazy with their phones. But I live in Bray, and I, you know, go now for your exercise, and you're walking on the road, and people are literally, that's what I was telling the reporter there, they're stepping out in front of traffic.
To avoid each other.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, people have become quite rude to each other, and that has to stop. People have become rude.
They won't even look up.
Yeah.
But I thought you could only get this, now correct me if I'm wrong, within in somebody's close contact for 15 minutes. Originally, was that the story?
Well, originally, the distancing, according to the WHO, was 1 meter, but most governments adopted 2 meter to be on the safe side.
Yeah,
you will catch it. I mean, there was some scientific evidence earlier on that you can catch it from people breathing close to you. But that has been kind of poo-pooed by other scientists who said, no, that's not, the chances of that are so slim.
So why is passing by somebody in the street?
It's very unlikely you're going to get it passing by somebody in the street.
Why are they literally?
Because there's a hysteria, that's why.
Yeah.
Can I add as well?
Because the society is going to go, we'll be like robots.
And can I add as well, like, you know, even if we get it, 80% of us to even 90% of us.
95, I think is the figure. Yes. We'll be fine.
Know.
Yes.
We won't even know we have it. Like, so, yeah. You know,
you might have some symptoms or whatever.
As I was saying earlier, it's your choice. If you, as long as you know your personal hygiene and you're aware of your personal space, you common sense that, you know, you look after yourself.
Okay, but I think Philip made a very good point, you know, that if we need to get back to some level of normality, and the old normal I'm talking about, not the new one, we need to protect those who are vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Now, and that's the sad part, that I feel so sorry for people over the age of 70, particularly those who might be a little bit unwell, or those who are vulnerable under the age of 70, having to lock themselves in their homes all day.
My poor mother is the same.
Yeah,
and the people in nursing homes, how did they get in there? They don't get out, so somebody got in.
Yeah, well, visitors, obviously, because they figure this has been around since December, by the way.
Yeah. Very possibly. We'll never really hear the truth, I don't think, ever.
Well, they have identified a case of it in France in December now, so they figure now that there could have been cases here in Ireland probably in January. We would have put it down as pneumonia. The death would have been registered as, you know, the flu or pneumonia at the time. Because it would have been during a busy flu season anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people... there was an article, now that I remember, there was an article in the Irish Examiner back in January which talked about the flu season being particularly bad this year. So maybe there might have been people with COVID at that time as well. That's quite possible, you know.
Yeah, and even if they do get a vaccine, the flu is a live vaccine, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, I hope they don't come up with a live vaccine of this. That couldn't be possible.
Well, I think I talked to a virologist here one day and he was saying it wouldn't be a live vaccine because of, it attaches itself to proteins in the body, so it's a different situation. So that's why he said it's a bit more difficult to work out a vaccine for it. I think if it had been a live vaccine situation, it would have been a lot easier to find a vaccine. Okay, keep texting in, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. We're talking about the new normal. And going forward, politicians, Tony Holohan himself has said that we need to adapt to a new normal. And Michelle O'Neill basically has said that we need to be prepared for social distancing for the next 2 to 3 years until we get a vaccine. Are you prepared for that? And I mentioned all the stuff there. When people think about social distancing, I don't think you think about it properly, because you have to think about the fact that social distancing means, you know, you can't be visiting friends without some sort of prior arrangements and standing apart. You can't be going to pubs and hugging your mates. You can't be in an office in a shared workspace without having at least 2 metres and possibly a screen between you. Your grandparents won't be seeing their grandchildren's. Weddings are in jeopardy. No large events, no gigs, no sporting events with spectators. All that. Are you prepared for that for the next 2 or 3 years? No close contact with other human beings. Are you prepared for that for the next 2 or 3 years? Will you, as a human being, will you survive it? That's what I want to know. Do you think that's acceptable to be told that by your government, that you cannot make contact with another human being? As a business owner, will you survive it? I doubt it. If you're at 20 or 30 or 40% capacity that you were before, depending on how your social distancing works in your business. And not only are they asking you to do it, but they will be sending a team around. They've now nominated a new team, and they will be going around to inspect your business to make sure that you're socially distancing and to make sure that everybody in your office is not using the same cup or the same spoon or the same knife and fork, and everybody has their own, just make sure there's a screen between people if they should work in a shared office space. All those kind of things will be checked. And if you don't comply, you'll get a fine or you'll be charged. So it's all very serious. Now, Michelle O'Neill has said, from Sinn Féin, this could go on for years. Are you happy? Will you deal with that? Peter, you're on Classic Kids.
How's it going, Noel? How are you?
Well, firstly, economically, we're not going to be able to deal with it. I don't know who even thinks it's a good idea. But from a personal point of view, after August, I'm not talking about the roadmap or the road plan. Let's all deal with that as it goes along. But will you be able to deal with social distancing for years to come?
Not a hope. I just can't get my head around the whole thing that if people have cocooned, if people have stayed in and done everything they were asked to do, has the virus not gone, like, you know? And
well, no, it hasn't.
No, I know it hasn't, but, like, when you look at New Zealand and what they've done and how they've restricted everything. But
New Zealand is now... No, we can't do what New Zealand done, or Australia, because, firstly, they're very different countries. But here's the problem in New Zealand, right? So New Zealand are great. Let's pat them on the back. They don't have very many cases. Within the next 2 weeks, they'll probably have none at all. The infection rate will be zero, right?
And so only 21 people died.
Oh, great. Okay. So what are they going to do going forward? Are they going to kick tourism in the ass and say, okay, we don't let any more visitors into this country? Because if they do, they risk infecting the country again. So that's the end of their tourism.
But right now, they have everybody, anyone that comes in, they're in quarantine for 2 weeks, and then they're.
So that's not. So who's going to go on holidays anywhere if you have to go to quarantine for 2 weeks? So that's never going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen.
So in other words, that's not the right strategy. And the best scientists in the world have said New Zealand and Australia have adopted the wrong strategy. The problem is we're somewhere in the middle. We're allowing people to get it, but slowly. What they've done is basically stopped it. That's no good to them. It's no good for their health. It's because they. It's like when you were a kid and your ma wouldn't let you touch anything. You know, and people used to say, the older people say, oh, would you let them do it? They have to build up an immunity to it. So that's unfortunately what New Zealand are doing at the moment. They've snookered themselves in a situation where if this virus is around for 20 years, they're never going to be able to open their doors to tourism again.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's baffling me, honestly. And then personally as well, I manage a football team and the young lads, there's 17 young lads there that are, our parents are like, is there ever going to be training again? Like, going forward, you can't see if we're never going to have to be able to contact. You're going to see contact sports go. You're going to see.
Well, the GAA have already said there won't be any games until there's a vaccine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so, companies are insuring sports clubs if they want to start up again in this new road plan that we have mapped out in the 28th of June when some sports can start back or whatever. They contact each other. Like, are they going to start bringing out Nike masks and Nike gloves? And we're going to start seeing people walking around with Gucci masks on and Gucci gloves? And, like, is it going to be a part of our clothing now that we have to wear a mask and a pair of gloves all the time?
Well, they were talking about that in the FA in the UK, that they would have to wear masks during training. Now, they're not playing any games yet. And I'm saying, I don't play football, I don't play any sports, but I can't imagine what it would be like to run around for 90 minutes with a mask on your face.
Exactly, and then for young children as well. Like, then I'm watching horse racing in France and all the jockeys with their masks on, and is this going to be a new part of our lives where everybody just has to wear a mask and a pair of gloves? And is that enough to stop people from getting infected? And if it is, why is everybody not doing it? Like,
okay, well, to say there, Roisin, very quickly, I've only got a minute. Roisin, you're on Classic Kids. Would you be able to deal with it for the next few years?
I think we could probably keep about half of the measures, and that might help everybody. Like, you know, I mean, the screens in the supermarkets and stuff like that, I think they could stay up.
Yeah.
Hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Different things like that.
Yeah, I think good hygiene, yeah.
Like, I mean, a lot of it could stay around. If I could see my family, I'd probably be, I could handle an awful lot more of it. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, my mum's in a care home now, so I haven't seen her since the 5th of March. I seen her on the 5th of March and they closed the doors on the 7th of March.
Yeah.
You know, so I haven't seen her since then.
That's awful. So, you must be missing her something terrible, do you?
It's awful. And it's awful for her because she's confined to the bed.
Oh, no.
So, you know what I mean? Which you would argue she might be safer because she isn't mixing. Well, the residents are not mixing anymore in any care homes. But
that's it. Like, you know, I feel so sorry for elderly people who've lived all their lives relying on their family, being with their families, being with their friends. And even in care homes, they have their family come and visit them. And now all of a sudden, the last years of their lives, you know,
and
they're cut off from everybody. It's just awful.
Yeah, absolutely horrendous.
I just think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I know there has to be another way of dealing with this situation.
I know. Like, I wonder, would they bring in that we could go in now, maybe when, you know, in the full PPE at our own cost, even, and a temperature check or something like that? I'd be happy to be tested.
Well, I'm hoping in the next,
sit with her for a while, you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping in the next 2 weeks that we will have, you know, portable testing kits that you can test yourself in 2 or 3 minutes. Hopefully somebody will develop that, and that way we could just test visitors who want to go in and see how they are. That maybe that would make it easier for everybody. But look, Roisin, thank you very much indeed. And loads and loads of people are texting in. Somebody says, if we all have to wear masks, lipstick sales are going to plummet. But you can put the lipstick on the outside of the mask. That's why Helena was showing me a video one day of some girl putting makeup on the outside of the mask to make it look or match her face. I know, it would be ridiculous. Look, to be honest with you, I don't. Michelle O'Neill has said it's going to go on for the next 2 or 3 years. Tony Holohan has suggested this new normal as well. I don't think that human beings in Ireland would accept that. I don't believe human beings anywhere in the world will accept that for a long period of time. And I think the government are going to have to sit down and start thinking logically and properly and thinking about us as human beings. Yes, sadly, people are dying. But please, please, those who are in power, listen to the rest of the people in this country. Listen to everybody else as well, who going forward, many will die if we take the wrong measures.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.